This morning, as we continue our study of love, back to the title screen, very good. The idea was we're going to look at some examples of love in the Bible and elsewhere if people had ideas. I waited later in the week than I should have, put up on Facebook the prompt there if anybody had examples that they could think of. Of examples of love, people that they identify with love. Several of you liked the comment. Only one person replied to it. we'll see if more of those ideas come out in future studies. But I have to confess this morning, I kind of failed in my prep this week. I spent a lot of time working on it. It wasn't that. But I didn't come up with what I was trying to come up with. In fact, as I was looking at it, I failed in two areas. And maybe the best way is just to walk you through my week as I was trying to put together this Profiles in Love. We talked last week, love is a huge idea. We could talk about it all year. All kinds of angles you can come at it. So I knew I wanted to eliminate the romantic love aspect. That we talked about Song of Songs a few weeks ago. We talked some about like Jacob and Rachel and the motivation of love in that way. I said, let's not worry about that this week. So I set that aside. Okay, now what are some of the pictures of bigger love than that we can think of? And some of the first ones that came to mind thought about like Jochebed and Moses, his mother saving his life, putting him down the river, loved him so much that she would rather have him living in somebody else's house than having harm come to him. Or a few other of these mother stories. But I say that's too easy. It's too easy when you're talking about examples of these moms. There's got to be something bigger. So we're not going to use moms as the example. We'll get to that another day, I'm sure. So set aside romantic love stuff. Set aside the moms. Let's talk about the ways that we see love in the Bible. Some of the examples of love. And so I was digging in. I was making a list. I was looking at all these different ways, and I think there are some very, very good examples. And I was starting to classify them, break them into lists, all this behind-the-scenes stuff that you write all this stuff down, and you categorize, and you connect the threads, and it all comes together in a nice piece for a sermon when it works. It didn't work this week. But I've already shared that. Starting to see a lot of really good examples of people acting and doing incredible things out of love for their family, even setting aside the mothers. The one reply on the Facebook thread was somebody saying, Ruth is an example of love. And I think she's right. You look at Ruth, and it's kind of amazing, the story of the daughter-in-law taking care of her mother-in-law and speaking so poignantly about love that people take her words and use it at weddings as though it was husband and wife, even though it was daughter-in-law and mother-in-law, of your people will be my people. And Ruth does great actions out of love for family. We see Abraham and his love for Lot. Lot wasn't a perfect guy. Lot messed stuff up. Lot didn't always perhaps return the actions of love from Abraham. But Abraham gave Lot first selection of land, right? And when Lot used that selection of land to get himself in trouble in Sodom, Abraham first pled with God to save the city that Lot was in. And when that didn't work, he went in and got him out. You see great examples of love for family. You also see so many examples of love for friends. Love for those who aren't family but have that bond there. I thought about David and Jonathan. If you go to 1 Samuel 20, David and Jonathan have this bond. And when Jonathan is hearing that his father wants to kill David, he wants to find a way to help his friend. He wants to see what he can do to rescue him. And so he finds out, and in 1 Samuel 20, 16, these two verses are on the bulletin. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord call David's enemies to account." And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. And so he makes this arrangement of how he would warn David if he needed to get out of town. And so in this case, his love for a friend even surpassed love for family. And then turn over to 2 Samuel, and you see David returning that love. After he is king, and I know we've talked about this at some point in the past year, he says he wants to do kindness to someone for the sake, someone of Jonathan's family, for Jonathan's sake. And so even though he didn't know Mephibosheth, out of love for Jonathan, he took care of him. And staying in the David narrative, even you think of Uriah the Hittite. In the middle of the messiness of David, of David's sin and poor choices, when he's trying to cover up what he had done with Uriah's wife, he called Uriah in, saying, "You know, go have some quality time with your wife." And Uriah said he wouldn't do it out of love for his troops. He would not act selfishly. And when David sent him to the front line in another scheme to make all that go away, Uriah, he was a military man. He was one of David's mighty men. He knew what was going to happen just as much as David knew what was going to happen. He went. He had that love for David as one of his closest mighty men. Uriah acted out of love for somebody that he loved in that way. And as all these stories are coming together, I've got lists of these that I found. Incredible stories of love for family and love for friends, and the way the amazing things that God's people have done out of love. I said, this is perfect. It's going to lead right into next week. You know, I said, this week we're talking about people other than Jesus. Next week we'll talk about Jesus. Here's what we'll do. I'll talk about love for family, love for friends. Then we'll do love for strangers or enemies, which will lead us right into what Jesus did for everyone. It'll be perfect. So I got my list, got my first two lists, and I go to make my third list. People who acted out of incredible love for strangers and or enemies. And then I did what I do when I can't think of things. I asked Rachel. I said, Rachel, I, I have this set up. It's going to be great. We're going to do 3 steps and we're going to get to Jesus. And we'll lead into how all these things lead up to what Jesus did. I just need some examples of people who acted out of love for strangers or enemies. And then we both sat and thought. And she came up with some suggestions, and I picked at each of them to say why that doesn't work. You know, like you do for people who help you. We both had some ideas. Could this work? And they all seemed to fall apart. We thought of maybe Rahab. She was helping foreign spies. She was helping people she didn't know. But you go look at Judges and the Rahab narrative. Rahab wasn't doing that out of love. You look at her words and she said, "We saw you coming and we were afraid. This whole city is melting with fear." Rahab was acting out of fear. And perhaps if you want a more positive slant, you could say faithfulness. She has some covenant-sounding language. Rahab did some good things for strangers, potential enemies. It's hard to say that it was done out of love. Moses. Okay, I asked Rachel, but Jared was sitting right next to her, and he said, "Moses! Moses loved the people and took them out of Egypt." And I said, "Well, that's worth thinking about." And maybe he was close, but still, I look at that, and Moses, he rescued the one Israelite when he killed the slave driver, but I don't think that was really out of love. That seemed more out of anger. And Moses was kicking and screaming the whole way on his role as leading the Exodus. I do think he loved the Israelites. I don't know if that was his motivation. And still, you could say, "Well, that sounds more like family to me." I don't know. So maybe Jared got me. Maybe Jared. But I felt I couldn't really use that as the big, here is the big thing, because I don't know if it is quite what I was looking for. And I've got a list of almosts on this. And desperate, last night I was going page by page through most of the Old Testament trying to find these examples. And they're not there. At least I couldn't find them. I would love for you to tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me afterwards. I like having conversations about what we talk about. And the more that I looked at it, the more I realized, maybe I'm not going to be able to find it. And maybe the reason is, it is such a big deal to act out of love for a stranger or an enemy, that when Jesus came on the scene and suggested that his followers do it, it was that big a deal. It was something new. I'm not going to say that no time in history has anybody acted out of love for a stranger or an enemy. But I'm saying that when Jesus came along and said, "You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. And in doing so, you will be called sons and daughters of your Father in heaven." It was a big deal. There were 3 suggested people when Rachel and I were talking about this that could perhaps fit this image. The first was the Good Samaritan. Maybe that came to your mind. came to mind, and Rachel's. My thing was that I feel like I want to use the Good Samaritan for a different fruit of the Spirit. And Rachel said, yeah, okay. But it would fit. So, yeah, it probably would. But then I remembered the Good Samaritan wasn't a real person. The Good Samaritan was a character in a parable by Jesus. He told a story about what does it mean to be a neighbor, and he created this outrageous scenario because it is outrageous of somebody acting that way. So, lost off Good Samaritan. It might look like it work, but that's because it is Jesus teaching about this very thing. And then where we disagreed the most was two individuals who were closely tied in the New Testament, Ananias and Paul. Rachel said, well, Ananias saw Paul as an enemy. He was afraid of him, and he taught him and baptized him and worked with him. And I said, was that love or was that obedience? That was probably splitting hairs. I said, we went around on this. And in the same sense, Paul went through an awful lot in order to bring the gospel to people. And again, I said, well, was that love for the people or was that love for the gospel? And she said, you're overthinking it. Maybe she's right. Maybe those two are good examples of that. But as I think about it more, these are examples coming after Jesus. These are people who are acting this way because of the gospel. You say, was he doing it out of love for the people or love for the gospel? Well, the gospel says you love the people. The message and the life of Jesus says you do things out of love for the people because you love God, because of the love of Jesus. It says you set aside things like ideas like enemies and neighbors and disagreements. You set aside those things. Love is for everyone. God loves everyone. If you want to call yourself Christian, if you want to call yourself God's people, you love everyone and act that way. That's why he told the story of the Good Samaritan. Not because it happened, but because he said it should happen. Not because it's a story he heard about, but he says, this is the way you ought to look at people. And maybe Ananias and Paul and others, maybe to say Peter going to Cornelius, perhaps. These are people that fit that image because they were trying to look like Jesus. So, I will openly confess, I failed to make my formula work. Twice, because I couldn't make my three-step formula for today work, and I couldn't make my four-step formula on how we're going to look at fruits of the Spirit work for love, because I couldn't come up with that third list, and I couldn't talk about love without talking about Jesus. Rachel's telling me something I should have known, I'm sure. I can't read lips, I'm sure I'll learn something later. It's good to learn stuff. I wanted to see if we could look at, let's look at examples other than Jesus. Let's look at how people other than Jesus, let's wait, we'll do Jesus next week. I couldn't do it. It turns out, if you want to talk about love, you have to talk about Jesus. I guess it's not a bad thing to find yourself having to talk about Jesus. You know, it's easy to be on those first two lists. It is easy to love your family. They might make it difficult at times. But it is easy to have that love for family. It is easy, perhaps easier at times, to love your friends and the people who you are close with, that second family, perhaps. That's something that is natural something that that we don't have to work all that hard on, perhaps. It's not easy to act out of love for a stranger or for an enemy. But that's what Jesus called us to. We look at the whole history of God's people, and God had been trying to move them in that way in love. Abraham was told from the beginning, I'm going to use you to be a blessing to all people. And Israel was told that they're supposed to be a light to the nations. They just couldn't make it happen. And Jesus came and showed them the way. So, if we want a portrait of love, even though we're still going to talk specifically more about Jesus next week, God's people, to show God's love, we've got to learn from Jesus. And I think we're on the right track. I have seen love in this congregation. I have seen a desire to help, as we've done with some of the things we've done up here at the table. We collected those shoes for a person none of us have met, a stranger. A few of us might know a relative of Victoria. I have seen that desire to help. I've seen love in this building. And I think we need to encourage one another. And we need to help find opportunities to show that love rather than just keeping it in here. So, I feel bad that I failed you this morning. But I feel like I learned something this week. And hopefully, in taking you along the trip with me, maybe you have as well. And again, if you found one that I missed, I'd love to hear it. I'll try not to split hairs. Or maybe tell Rachel, she'll tell me. But we should be trying to follow these examples. And it is noteworthy to see the difference between before Jesus and after. The world changed. And God's people changed. At least we ought to. So that's all for this morning. If there's anything you need, we would love to hear it. If there's anything we can help with, we would love to be able to help. If you need baptism, it's empty today. We'll find some water for you. George is working on that. If you have that need, we'll take care of you. It matters. If there's anything you do need this morning, please let us know. Come forward as we stand and sing.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God?